specific investment, tax, or estate planning advice. Investing carries an inherent element of risk, and there is no guarantee of financial success or specific investment results. Results may vary based on individual circumstances. It is in everyone's best interest to consult a tax, legal, or investment professional depending on their unique situations.
And it is time for Building Rural Wealth, and we have with us this morning Amy Shipley. Amy, how are you?
Oh, I'm very good, Aaron.
Pull that
mic
up a little closer if you would, Amy.
I sure will.
How was your weekend? Good?
Yeah, it wasn't bad at all. It was. We had a little weather on Friday, but luckily missed out on it here.
Yeah.
So
yeah, we were pretty fortunate.
We were fortunate. We've had a lot of rain, which, you know, we'll take that now.
What's going on the farm?
Oh, let's see. We've got we got some new bulls coming today, so that's exciting.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Well, there you go.
There we go.
How do you top that?
It's hard. I mean,
you have some new bulls coming?
I don't. At our house, I mean, yeah, Amy's always got something going on, it seems like.
Amy has great stories. She does.
I know.
How was your weekend, Caleb?
Our weekend was good. We were back in the Knoxville area seeing my parents for a wedding anniversary that they had, a 25th wedding anniversary. So congrats to them.
You bet.
So, but nope, back seeing some family and some. Avoiding the weather over there in Knoxville, yeah, they kind of had some weather over across the state. It was kind of all popping up all over southern Iowa.
Yes.
But good weekend overall.
All right, Caleb, so what are we going to talk about here today? What's our topic?
Yeah, well, kind of continuing with the theme of business owners and planning and, you know, kind of looking at them. You know, we got a question for business owners, and it's, you know, if everything runs through you, you know, what happens when you're not there? You know, there's always times that a business owner needs to step out, wants to step out, take time off. And, you know, and what we're talking about today is not that forever scenario, if that proverbial bus has your name on it, but what happens when you're gone for a week or a month as a business owner? And you know, what happens during those times during your business, and kind of how can you evaluate that and kind of determine, you know, can your business run without you for a certain period of time? And, you know, you step back to it and it's kind of operating just as it is. And, you know, for a lot of owners, the answer, you know, unfortunately, is probably not really.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of times, especially in small businesses, that's because they're the ones making the decisions, solving the problems, and, you know, in general, kind of keeping things moving, you know, through the pipeline. And, you know, having those bottlenecks, you know, that's not a sign of failure. That's, you know, a lot of times how small businesses are built. You know, they're built as a sole proprietor. Then you hire the next person, and then you hire three, and then you're at 10, 15, 20 people. But over time, it does create that different kind of challenge. You know, the more the business, you know, depends on that one person, the harder it becomes to step away, scale the business, which is a lot more important, which, you know, growing the business or eventually transition. So today we kind of want to talk about that of, you know, what does that look like? What does that mean for a business to kind of run independently? How to recognize if you become the bottleneck, and kind of what systems and structures, you know, are out there to kind of look at and verify? Because it's kind of about empowering your employees, again, to run the business, again, not so that you can be away forever, but hey, there are times that, again, even to grow the business, hey, you're looking at different sites, you're going to a conference for a week or something like that. You want to know the business kind of can keep going.
All right. So what's the true test of a transferable business, Amy?
Okay, well, when we talk about a transferable business, we're talking about a business that can operate without relying on one person. You know, and personally, kind of our office is experiencing this right now, because as everybody in KMA land or KCSI land knows, Denise's father passed away.
Mm-hmm.
So Dan and Denise are out right now. And, you know, that's kind of what we're talking about, is when people are gone, when something like that happens, do you have systems, processes, roles, and decision-making structure that's in place so your business can run without you? And, you know, when it comes to transferability, you don't want to remove the owner completely, but you do want to reduce how much depends on them day to day. So, you know, we're going through that right now. And fortunately, Milestone Financial Group, we have worked together as a team for quite a while. We have processes in place. Everybody has roles that they know, you know, and Dan and Denise have done a wonderful job of ensuring those things are in place. So if and when they need to be away, they can.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, you know, some of the important steps that we want other business owners to just think about. And, you know, in a transferable business, it's important that your processes are documented. So that means you are writing down what you do. So if you are away, somebody else can take that list, take that process, and look at how it's being done. Another thing is the team knows their roles. So if the boss is away, there's somebody that can step into those shoes, not necessarily, you know, be making big decisions, but they know their place so they can keep the day-to-day doors open, the operation running, and that you can make decisions without their constant approval. So a business that only works with you is harder to transfer without you. And let's kick the idea that this is all about selling. It's more about flexibility. So it's more about taking time off, scaling, reducing day-to-day pressure for you. So then the question becomes, how do you know if you're still at the center of everything?
All right.
Well, to piggyback real quick, that kind of even spills over to the employees too, you know. And again, in our office, we've had, you know, Marcus has been gone and now thankfully back from his service in the guard and stuff too. And we've had, you know, people out with having kids and babies and stuff too. So it's kind of, hey, when you work as a team in our office, we've been able to pick up some of that. Clients, you know that we work as a team. So we've been able to transition the workflow and be able to do that and respond to. So kind of, you know, it flows through the business, no matter when you have those systems, processes, kind of that overlapping, you know, kind of that cross training throughout the businesses, employees from the owner kind of on down to key employees or other employees, you know, you kind of can't have that continuity when things come up, because just like in financial planning, like life is going to happen. Life is going to happen with your employees in the business, with the owner and things like that too. So it's kind of about how do you have a way to respond and again, keep the business going.
All right. So what are some of the signs you're in a bottleneck, Caleb?
Yeah, you know, and again, they show up in a lot of ways, and this is a common thing, you know, so it's not pointing fingers, but these are patterns, you know, most business owners are going to experience at some point. And sign number one is you're the decision hub. You know, most decisions, big, small, come through you, you know, whether it's pricing changes, customer issues, which is a big one, you know, hey, keeping the customers happy. Whenever there's a problem that comes up, again, no matter how good your business is, there's going to be some customer service issue.
Yeah.
If the owner is the one that has to handle every one of those, you know, that can be an issue. And even day-to-day approvals. So, you know, we know what it keeps to keep things moving, but, you know, that can slow scalability. So start thinking about, you know, what are some of those, you know, smaller other decisions that you can delegate. You know, that key knowledge lives in your head. You know, processes aren't documented. People rely on asking you instead of following the system because you're the one that's done it. You have the know-how. You know exactly how it runs, how you want it to be. And if someone's out or leaves, you know, things can stall and that creates that fragility. Again, most of your employees know exactly how you want it. So even sometimes they don't got to ask, you know, having that still documented can still be very empowering to them.
Mm-hmm.
Sign three would be, you know, delegation is limited or inconsistent. Again, and this can be hard depending on, especially the type of business, you know, quality control is an important thing, especially in small businesses, but tasks are delegated, but decisions come back to you. You know, you assign responsibility, but still feel maybe the need to double check everything or kind of micromanage. And that delegation without authority doesn't really reduce that dependence back on you. And there's no clear second in command. You know, Amy kind of mentioned it, you know, hey, who is that person that can step up when something happens? Because again, some other things are going to happen with your other employees, other team members, why the owner's out or another person's out. So you got to deal with those things as well too. So who do they look for in that natural absence? You know, and even in some of that informal leadership can impact that. So
okay,
if you recognize one of these, you know, again, these are all signs. They come up in different ways, but, you know, probably every business of every size has dealt with them, and they're hard to deal with, but you got to have the right people as well, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that would be signs you're the bottleneck then. If you see those, then that certainly you could be the –
Yeah,
you could be the bottleneck in that situation.
Well, again, that's going to also apply to like key employees too. Again, think about not only your level, but, you know, one level down of your key employees. Again, if that key employee is your main salesperson or is your main, you know, mechanic or something, you know, whatever it is, you know, hey, if they're gone, you know, that impacts it too. So how do you kind of build that out?
You bet. Okay, so Amy, why do buyers pay more for systems?
Well, let's, you know, shift perspectives for just a minute and say you're looking to buy a business, what would you most likely look for? You would probably look for something that had predictable income, a reliable team, and clear processes. So when buyers are purchasing a business, they're not just buying the income, they're buying how the income is generated. And if there's an owner-dependent business, then it's higher risk. There's more uncertainty. There's a harder transition. Mm-hmm. You know, I think about sometimes we can put this in the farming perspective too. If there's a farmer that's always made all the decisions, everything runs through them. If they're suddenly gone, you know, then it's just a lot harder mm-hmm. to transition or to even purchase that business without knowing anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, system driver businesses are more predictable, they're easy to operate, they're more transferable. So the less a business depends on you, the more value it often becomes to someone else. So stop and think, are you building a job for yourself or a job that can stand on its own?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's look at solving some of these issues that we've identified here. So what are some of our steps toward independence?
Yeah, and this is the hard part. And what Amy said, you know, some of this stuff is kind of forced upon you. You know, some of these things we've done in our own internal office that have kind of been what we've tried to proactively do, but sometimes it's forced upon you mm-hmm. that you need to do some of these things. But, you know, step one would be start documenting the processes. You know, simple checklists, you know, kind of write down how do you do this can make a big difference. You know, identifying key roles. Again, who handles what, who is important for each step, who are those key employees and what are those gaps? Delegate, you know, who are the people that, you know, you think are most responsible that you can delegate to, and, you know, maybe try giving them a little more authority, and, you know, sometimes you'd be surprised. You know, develop leadership, you know, who can grow into that larger role that you might identify is the second generation that could maybe take over and do that. And then take steps back gradually, you know, test the system in small ways. Again, there's going to be times, you know, not only for the business owner or key employees to recharge, but hey, sometimes you want to send a group of them to expand the business to a conference or, you know, do market research or whatever it is. So, you know, that's time away from the business. So that's ways that you can kind of stress it as well.
All right. So we've talked, and this gives you more freedom. It increases the value or flexibility. So talk to me about that.
What I would say real quick too is like, you know, there's tools now to help you with some of this stuff. Again, ChatGPT and some things. Hey, there's great ways to document. Hey, write me a documented checklist of this, mm-hmm. this, and this for this industry or for this job title or this role and stuff too. So again, we've tried to take advantage of those things too.
It's a great tool.
It is.
It really is.
And again, some of this stuff is documenting stuff that employees, the owner already knows how to do. It's day to day. But again, there is a system to this. It's proof. And hey, some of this stuff, you know, isn't always routine. You know, we in our office, there's things that we do every day, but sometimes mm-hmm. there's anomalies that you only see one or two times a year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, Amy. Freedom.
Yes.
Value. Flexibility.
Right.
These are all good
things.
Don't
we want all those things?
We want all those.
We want to take some time away.
Uh-huh.
Before the show, you know, Caleb and I were just talking about vacations that we want to take and go away and be gone for a while. Well,
uh-huh.
as a business owner, do you want to always be checking your emails and calling and worrying and getting texts from your employees? Or do you want to have a little fun, a little freedom, and, you know, just knowing that, hey, I can be gone and everything's going to be taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
I think most people would really rather be able to be gone and not having to micromanage all of those and not having your employees and your teams rely on you so much that you can't be gone.
Right.
So, you know, think about this as creating a gift for yourself and also, you know, for your employees. And let yourself take some time off. Think about how it's going to be helping transition you from, you know, working and being the sole key person to make decisions to spreading out that responsibility among a group so they can, you know, take over and help you. And also, that's going to reduce stress for everybody. You know, employees have stress when they have to ask the boss about every single thing. You have stress if you have to control every decision and, you know, nobody can rely on things going okay day to day unless you're there. That reduces a lot of stress.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be stressful to let go of control. That is the main thing that I think business owners think is, I've got to have control because it's my business, it's my baby, I built it from the beginning, and I want to see it through to the end. But we all know that the unexpected things in life happen.
Mm-hmm.
If you're suddenly gone, or more than likely, sometimes people get injured or they have an accident. You know, those things happen. We need to be prepared for them, and that will let you feel a lot more comfortable than taking time off. If something happens, you know that there's systems, there's people in place that can make the business run without you. And as you get ready to transition or sell the business, you'll have a lot more confidence in knowing that, yep, I can do it, I can be gone, and it's going to flourish without me. So simply put, when systems carry the load, your options expand.
Okay. So again, building rural wealth, Milestone Financial, can your business run without you? So wrap it up for me, Caleb.
Yeah, I mean, whether it's your portfolio or your business, you know, I kind of think from the starting point, your ultimate goal is, you know, to build a business or a portfolio or investments, you know, that work for you, mm-hmm. that you don't have to work on it, that eventually it kind of works for you. And again, that takes time to get there, that takes work to get there. And then once you do get there, again, that doesn't mean you can just set it and forget it and let it go. Again, especially as a business owner, you still want to be involved, or even your portfolio, you know, once you get to that retirement stage, you know, there's still management and work to do. But, you know, I can think of that, you know, am I building something that is that works for me? I'm not working for it at a point. But again, it takes work to put in there. But you can kind of reframe that through some of that thinking, those system structure, kind of some of that long-term planning. You know, I guess is what we're here to help people kind of see, advise, kind of tie those things together with their personal finances, their business, their life, and all that stuff.
And take some time off.
Yeah, exactly.
Or sell your business.
Yeah,
whatever the ultimate goal is there, you can help people do that. So.
Yep. I mean, that is the balance of planning that we talk about. There's the spreadsheet side, and then there's kind of the life side. So if you got questions, think you identify with some of those things, or we could help you out. You know, we'd love to talk to you. 712-623-5726, or visit our website at milestonefinancialgroup.com.
Make it a great day. Nice to see you both.
Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Daniel Miller, Caleb Roebuck, Marcus Taylor, and Ashley Franco are investment advisors.